At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to episode 92 of the Jaguar Report podcast. My name is Gus Logue, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. John Shipley. Mr. John Shipley, how's it going?
Going good, man. It's been 2 weeks, still married, so.
Hey, congrats.
Beating some people's records. I'm doing solid, man. My wife hasn't left me yet.
There you go. That's definitely, you're definitely beating some records out there. That's for sure. There's records out there that have been broken.
Oh, yeah. Records are made to be broken.
Yeah. Well, all right. That just reminds me of Mac Jones. We might as well get into that and get it over with, because he set some records at Alabama in his 1 year there as a starter and then was drafted 15th overall. And then on Sunday, he was traded to his hometown Jaguars for a 6th-round pick. And so I think a lot of people were saying, oh, it's a 6th-round pick. Like, Balky's going to waste it anyway. Like, who cares if you go and get a young quarterback to bring into the room, especially considering, like, Doug Peterson loves building a full quarterback room, considering his past experience as a backup quarterback himself as a player, and then obviously winning a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. But I think you and I were both a little bit
I'm baffled how many people like the deal. And, like, not just – there's a fair amount of people who are shrugging their shoulders and saying they don't care. It's just a 6th-round pick. But how many people actually like this deal? It's baffling me. I think here's the disconnect with me is if you think Mac Jones is significantly better than C.J. Beathard, maybe I can see you convincing yourself this is a good deal. But I don't think Mac Jones has been better than C.J. Beathard in 2 years. The last time Mac Jones looked like a rosterable quarterback was 2021. Like, I had some people tell me, you know, he had a good first 2 years and struggled last year. No, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL over the last 2 years. And I don't think just because you're a bad starting quarterback with a first-round pedigree, you're automatically a good backup. I think if he's better at all than C.J. Beathard, which I personally don't think he is, I'd say they're about the same level quarterback. If he's better at all, it's like – the smidgiest of smidges, you know, and I think C.J. Beathard plus a 6th-round pick is greater than Mac Jones, because people love using the argument that, you know, 6th-round picks rarely become rosterable, et cetera, et cetera. They just took a guy in 6th-round last year who's already more valuable to their roster than Mac Jones is.
Yeah.
I'm not even that high on Parker Washington, but if you can find a backup receiver in the 6th round, that's better than trading a 6th round for a backup on a 1 year deal. Like, people were making the arguments to me that they would have made the playoffs last year if Mac Jones was their backup quarterback. No, they wouldn't have.
Come on.
Mac Jones is bad. He's a bad quarterback. And that's what it comes down to for me is, if your backup's going to be bad anyways, I don't see the point in giving away any draft capital at all, because maybe there's a 1% chance of hitting on a player in the 6th round. I would still take that lottery pick over a backup quarterback who, to me, is the same skill level as the one you already have. Like, Michael Gwynn was a 6th round pick, and he's about to be one of the highest pick guards in the NFL in a few hours.
Literally, people are asking, like, oh, the Jaguars have never used, like, a 6th round pick on a good player. It got you Gardner Minshew. Y'all were obsessed with him, and now, like, you're obsessed with Mac by, like, forgetting about Gardner.
Gardner Minshew, who's a better NFL quarterback.
I said that. I would rather have Gardner, as much as I did not enjoy watching him play. Like, I think he's a tier above, like, Gardner – or a tier above both Mac and CJ as a backup.
Like, yeah.
I think honestly, if they had traded for a sixth rounder for Minshew, I like wouldn't have really blinked. I would have been like, all right, like it's a little weird, like him coming back to the Jags, obviously. But other than that scenario, it would make sense. So like if they traded a fifth for Jacoby Brissett, I'd be like, all right, Brissett can actually start NFL games if you need him to. That makes sense. But I can't say that with confidence about Mac.
Yeah, and like the trade was kind of the market for trading for a backup quarterback. I think Dobbs went for either a fifth and a sixth or like a sixth. Minshew went for a sixth, but I personally wouldn't have traded for any of those deals. Like, I don't think anybody who traded for Josh Dobbs is happy with like I can't remember the last trade picks for a backup quarterback that actually worked out. And I've had people combat me with the Trey Lance went for a fourth round pick. Yeah, that was a horrible trade. That trade's worse than this one. Congratulations. I really think the big thing for me is you're seeing some teams
for like with Packers free agency.
Well, the big thing for me is that like some teams are like trading fifth and sixth round picks for starters. Like they probably could have traded a sixth round pick for a starting cornerback who. Like a team who was, you know, in cap trouble. You can't convince me they couldn't have maybe gotten Courtland Sutton for a sixth round pick. Like that's what good teams are doing, you know. Like, yeah, Jerry Jeudy isn't that good, but trading a fifth and a sixth for Jerry Jeudy is immensely better than trading for a backup quarterback. I just can't remember the last trade for a backup quarterback that actually was a positive deal. But like I said, my big thing is with Max, just his level of play. I
have people tell me they now have one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
I don't believe that. I think if Trevor gets hurt at all, that you can go ahead and scratch that game up as a loss. I don't think Mac changes that whatsoever. And I will say the one positive I'll say to it is maybe a team gets supremely desperate in next year's free agency. And, you know, like Carolina when they got Baker, or even Tampa Bay when they got Baker last year and signs Mac to like a okay deal. The Jags could maybe get a comp pick out of that because, like, the comp pick, like, benchmark for a quarterback, like, to get a comp pick for a quarterback signing away is pretty low. So they could feasibly get a pick in 2 years for trading for Mac Jones, which to me wouldn't be awful business. It's just, I don't know. I know it's a six-round pick, but I think a six-round pick is more valuable than Mac Jones. And I'm convinced I was being gaslit yesterday. That's my take on it.
So here's what I think what might be the worst part about it is that at the NFL Combine, Balky was asked a ton about the offensive line, and rightfully so. And his like kind of motto throughout the whole thing was adding competition to the room, and he specifically like talked of right before we started recording this. I guess we could have started with that, but we'll get to Morse later. But Balky said this quote too. He said, "I think you want to make each room as competitive as you make it. Whether it's the D-line room, the O-line room, the receiver room, competition is good. It's a good thing to have on your team. You want to strengthen it all the time. Each time you want to continue to look at ways to strengthen. That's what we do as team builders." And so I'm a little nervous that they're like looking at this move, like in no way for Mac to just push Trevor for the starting job, but like they might think Mac could just push Trevor in order to perform better with Mac being behind him. And I think that's ludicrous, but I think it's like, a might be plausible explanation.
That's the thing. I also don't think Mac is like cut from the backup quarterback cloth, you know, like he very clearly was not, and naturally wasn't happy being benched in New England. CJ Beathard, he's been such a valuable backup for the Jaguars because he's a good sounding board for Trevor Lawrence. He's never going to want to be the starter. You know, he's on the headset helping him. Mac Jones to me is one, a guy who probably isn't going to be as helpful in that regard. Just, I mean, naturally he's probably viewing it as I came out the same year as Trevor. I was better. He wasn't than him in 2021, et cetera. And then secondly, he's the second guy, like, they have to develop. Like, you're still developing the first guy. Like, maybe put all of your development focus into that. I don't know. I personally just don't get it. I wouldn't have done it. I know people were very upset at me. Like, people were very upset at me yesterday for it. But I don't care. I think it was a dumb trade. And it's somebody tweeted at me that They're like, it's just a 6-round pick. Plus, he's from Jax. It's a good story. Shut the hell up. the backup quarterback coming back to his hometown is a good story. Sign Nathan Peterman next year. It's a good story. Like, come on. Grow up.
All right. I'm ready to move on. I wanted to talk about this for 0 minutes. And we spent eight already.
Hopefully that's as long as we talk about it throughout the season. So, yeah, let's go ahead and move on. Next, of the big M's, the next one, Mitch Morse. We were actually supposed to record about 30 minutes earlier than this, and then they dropped the Morse bomb on us. Literally as I was getting my computer set up. They're not signing Jeff Saturday, obviously, but he's a good center who, he's old, so he might be, an average center moving forward, but that's a big upgrade from what they got from Luke Fortner last year, who was pretty easily a bottom five center, and I think that they have more issues than just center, because, their tackles couldn't run block either. Their guards, who they just kept, couldn't run block. The tight ends really couldn't run block. The receivers couldn't run block. It was obviously, an overall issue for the team. But I do think having anybody in there that's not Luke Fortner is an upgrade. And, they're getting a guy with a ton of experience, a lot of big-game experience. He's played in some big games for the Buffalo Bills. And he fits their scheme. He's really athletic. Doug Peterson coached him when he was a rookie center with the Chiefs. So there's obviously a connection there. I think it's a good move. I don't think it's a hang the banners there, get the parade ready type move. But it obviously makes them a better football team, I think.
For sure. I think the experience is the biggest thing, because even though, I think most people would kind of point to run blocking as the biggest weakness in Fortner's game, I think he was not as clean in helping set pass protection as he could have been. I feel like there was just a lot more free rushers than there should have been coming at Trevor Lawrence last year. And so Morris is definitely the kind of guy that you just plug and play and should be able to establish an immediate rapport with Lawrence and just be able to point out blitzes and help with pass protection. And then it transfers to the run game too, maybe not to the same degree, but you can still kind of help set up plays and identify the Mike linebacker and stuff like that. And so I think even though I agree where the offensive line problem last year was the whole offensive line and even tight ends and receivers and running backs, it was just every position unit. It wasn't just center. But I think because of helping set pass protection and then just being literally in the middle of the offense, the line, he should be able to help. It's the type of, if they could only make one move, I think this is the one move they should have made.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I feel like we've been saying for a while that they were going to go after a veteran center. It just wasn't going to be a top tier one, and I feel like this matches that. It's a good contract, 2 years, I think $7.5 million guaranteed. Again, I think fans need to temper their expectations. I don't think you're getting top five. You're not getting Creed Humphrey or anything like that. And he's obviously an older guy, but I do think he raises the floor of the offense and all the ways that you mentioned, which is what they needed out of a new center. And most importantly, Gus, we won. Jackson Powers Johnson. You are not a Jacksonville Jaguar. I don't know. Maybe he falls to the second round where he's properly valued at and they draft him there. That would be slightly less offensive, but we won, Gus. Cornerbacks on the board. They're not taking the center at 17. We did it. And personally, I feel responsible. So I don't know about you, but I feel like I made the world a little bit of a better place today.
Yeah, no, I'm giving all the credit to you. You won the war. You made the world better. So congratulations. But also for Jaguars fans to stop mocking JPJ or just interior offensive linemen in general. If you want to mock an offensive lineman, then it's got to be someone who could play guard and tackle, not guard and center.
I was going to say, J.C. Latham or Troy Fananu. Yeah, okay. All for that. Go ahead. But no, that was the biggest takeaway for me is that I can finally stop arguing about this freaking Oregon center and his damn sandwich or whatever the hell it is. It's over, Gus. It's over. It's time for our boys to come home.
I mean, this is the way that like teams are built, or the right way, I guess, is by like addressing your needs in free agency, so that like you're not pigeonholed into a JPJ in the draft because you like didn't sign Mitch Morris in free agency. And so I think they're still going to have to sign a corner, even if they, regardless of whether they draft one at 17. But I think now, like, the only other position that I think like that has to be addressed in free agency, no matter what, I guess two would be defensive tackle and wide receiver.
Here's, I guess, my next question is, do they put a pick into the interior offensive line early at all? I personally don't think so, because Luke Fortner just became a developmental backup center. You know, like, you're not going to draft a guy. Like, Luke Fortner is officially that guy. It's funny, a guy with, what, 36 career starts to his name is now your developmental backup. Cooper Hodges, we know how high they are on him as a right guard behind Brandon Sheriff. Is it worth it to pick Ezra Cleveland's backup in the top 100 when you have as many holes as they do?
I think I'm with you, or at least I would see it's more unlikely than not that they take someone like an interior offensive lineman in the top 100. But it definitely wouldn't surprise me. We were talking before we started recording, and I was telling you that when like Ezra Cleveland's contract information came out, I thought like, oh, maybe this feels more like he was signed to compete at left guard for the left guard starting spot rather than like just being a shoe-in, just because he has so many incentives on his deal that's pretty team friendly, and he has cap hits of like $3 million and then $5 million, and then he's either going to get like cut or restructured or extended in 2026. And so I think his contract is like just competitor worthy. Like, I don't think it's like a starter worthy contract. And so for that reason, I think I'm like a little bit more, I don't know, open to the idea that they like will bring in competition for that room, because they brought in competition at quarterback. Obviously, as you just outlined, they got competition at center and right guard now. So I think they'll definitely, like, obviously they're going to add another interior lineman. It's kind of just a matter of like whether it's a seventh round pick or a second round pick or another veteran in free agency.
So when you see Graham Glasgow signed for 3 years, $20 million, less guarantees than Ezra, does that change your opinion on the Ezra deal at all?
No, I mean, Glasgow is like 33, isn't he?
He's like 30, 31.
Nah, I mean, I saw that and I was like, oh, maybe they could have gotten a slightly better deal out of Ezra. I already thought the Ezra deal was good, so.
I guess my contention is I just disagree with you on that there. I think you can lock in Ezra Cleveland as a starting left guard for the next 2 years. I think they are too prideful of a front office to give him any kind of deal and then say, let's bring in competition. And we've seen them do that countless times where they're like, okay, well, we signed this guy. He basically has to play. Like, look at Shaq Griffin after they signed Darius Williams. You know, like, it was obvious that Shaq Griffin was the third best corner and probably should have ridden the bench, but it took him single-handedly losing a game against the Colts to make that happen. And that's because, you know, they're, in my opinion, too prideful, cocky is probably not the best word, but I'll go ahead and use it. I don't care. Like, I personally think that they see Ezra as their starting left guard for the next 2 years. I'll go ahead and say I know they see Ezra as their starting guard for next season. That deal was not done as like a competition thing. He is locked in to that position. And from their viewpoint, at least what I've been told from people on the team, they think stuff like him being injured obviously played a role in him not being good last year, coming into a new scheme, and then the entire scheme and running game already being a mess as he was walking into it. My thing is, and you posted a good breakdown of his numbers, he wasn't good in 2022 either. I know people think he was because of his PFF grade or whatever, but SIS, which I think evaluates guards much better than PFF, offensive linemen in general, had him ranked pretty lowly. That's my thing. It's not about the money. I think the biggest issue with this deal isn't the money involved. It's that you are locking in a likely subpar player to start for multiple years. And I just think they can do better than Ezra Cleveland. It's kind of like Mac Jones with me. I don't think Mac Jones is a good player. People seem to think he's better than he is. I don't think Ezra Cleveland's very good. People, the Jaguars included, seem to think that he can be better than what I think he is, which is where I think the big disconnect comes. I know that you were a fan of his Minnesota stuff. I'll give him the injury card for 2023. He obviously wasn't good, but I'll give him the injury card. But I firmly believe that, like, I don't know, man. The Vikings have been looking for offensive linemen forever. They were okay with losing out on a potentially compensatory pick and just getting a sixth-round pick for him instead. Vikings fans are actually pissed about it, too, when Ezra signed his deal. Evidently, really? Did you see any of that? Yeah, they were mad that they thought if he hit free agency, they could have gotten a higher comp pick if they had, like, held on to him instead of trading him. But they probably wouldn't have. But that's my thing also is that the Vikings didn't miss him, and their offensive line hasn't been good my entire life. So, I don't know. Maybe it's the Ezra you don't know as compared to the Ezra you know.
Well, I think that's, like, kind of part of what the Jaguars are betting on. Like, I think, like, they definitely want 2024 and 2025 Ezra to be better than he ever has been in his career. I think that was, like,
Falk is
a big part of the trade is that they were like, yeah, this guy has a lot of before the 2024 season starts, but, like, so it'll be interesting to see whether they're able to kind of, like, back up the trade and really, like, develop him into an above average starter, or if they just acquired a below average starter. And then that was kind of it.
Gus, I want to get you new Wi-Fi and trade. That's gonna be my move, my friend. You are trying to think of a really bad GM. You're freezing like Quezzy in the first round.
I know. I was gonna text you. I don't know if I should leave. But my computer hasn't been this bad in a while.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead. We're already done with this segment, so we're gonna cut to a break anyways. And we'll be right back after this to talk Calvin Ridley and which guys we think they may not tamper with. I hate that they call it a tampering period. It sounds weird. But we'll be right back after this break. We'll see if we can get Gus a computer from the 1980s to maybe better. So stick with us. We're back from break. Gus is on a hot spot, and we're cooking with grease now, man. This is feels good.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I do. I think it's working, though. It's better than my Wi-Fi, apparently. I guess I got to upgrade my plan.
I'll be honest. You started saying maybe Ezra Cleveland's a backup, and your internet started going haywire. I just want to throw out there. Maybe it was God's way of saying, shut the hell up, buddy.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. You already shut me the hell up anyway. It's funny because I feel like we agree on like 90% of takes. So then, like, when we actually disagree on one, that's like probably the more interesting conversations.
I like it when we disagree.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's good.
We're two smart guys who are rarely wrong, so it rarely happens. But
apparently, I was wrong, so happy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're the only two people to call the Mac Jones trade stupid. So we're actually no, I'll go back. Demetrius did too. Demetrius Harvey. There were a good number of media people who crapped on it yesterday for whatever reason. Yeah. I seemed to get the wrath of the fan base for pointing it out, but everybody else did too.
You tweet through it like no one else.
What the hell else am I gonna do?
I ignore it. Like me and Deem and all the other people who were against content. The trade.
Content. Content. Gets the people going. All right. Now we're on to the tampering period of the podcast. Might as well talk about the elephant in the room with the 1,000-yard season. Calvin Ridley. I don't have a feel for what the hell happened there, dude. I really don't. I was confident in February he'd re-sign, but I was also confident in February that Mike Evans would be a free agent, and that obviously changed a lot. And I thought you made a great point last week. Calvin Ridley is probably the best true wide receiver free agent in a long time, but that's mostly because these dudes are never free agents. You know, like teams never let really good receivers be free agents. It's like Calvin Ridley, decrepit DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk, I guess. And there's a reason like these guys, you know, become free agents. You know, like most of the other alpha receivers, if they move teams, it's because of a trade.
Devontae Adams was never going to be a free agent. Stephon Diggs would never be a free agent. AJ Brown would never be a free agent, et cetera, et cetera. So I definitely agree with you. I think he's probably the best receiver off the top of my head in a long time to actually be available during the tampering period. Do you have a feel for which way it might go?
Right now I'm leaning more that he's staying. Like, I'm with you where, like, a few months ago it was seemed more likely that he was going to stay. And then as we've gotten closer and closer to free agency, that seems less likely. But now I'm kind of like swinging back in the other way. And I think he is going to end up staying for all the reasons we've outlined previously, like where he's close to his hometown. Like, he already has a year in Jacksonville and doesn't really want to learn like new playbooks and new people. And he actually, I mean, as rough as the Jaguars have looked for the past couple of months, like, it is one of the better landing spots in terms of being able to compete for a championship. Like, you're not, I mean, I guess the Chiefs and the Bills, like, specifically do need a receiver this offseason, but, like, it's not always going to be the case where, like, you fit in well within a contender needs. And, like, that's my biggest thing, honestly, is that, like, I feel like the Chiefs and the Bills are, like, on paper great fits for Ridley, but they're also, I mean, I guess the Bills did acquire Diggs, but the Chiefs traded away Hill. And so I think, like, for the Chiefs, for sure, like, they're, like, not going to put a ton of resources into, like, one guy at receiver, I don't think, especially since, like, Travis Kelce's hanging around. Rashee Rice looks good as a rookie last year. And for the Bills, they can't put too much in because they still do have Diggs. And so I think that, like, I'm, like, more interested in to see, like, which teams are in the market for Ridley than what his price tag will be, because I think that, like, the Chiefs and the Bills are going to put in offers, but, like, I don't think it's really going to necessarily beat what the Jags have. And I feel like teams like the Patriots, or the, maybe not the Commanders, but like a bad team like the Patriots could probably like outbid the Jaguars and give them a bigger deal. But if I'm Calvin Ridley, I don't know why, like, why would I want to go to New England to like start a like rebuilding stage? And like, you're, I mean, maybe I'm overblowing the whole like close to home thing, but being in New England certainly isn't close to Fort Lauderdale. And so I think that, like, again, he's probably going to get bigger deals from other teams, but I think those other teams are going to be like not very attractive landing spots. And so at the end of the day, I think it's more likely than not that he still is a Jaguar.
Yeah, that's my thing. The New England smoke is very real. Like, I know Jeremy Fowler said that talking to people, like, it definitely seems like New England is the team right now that could potentially drop back for him. I also, New York Jets. That's a name that I've heard as a team that could potentially be running for him. I would contend that anybody should run the hell away from
that. No. I would
Watch a Garrett Wilson interview from pre-draft and then watch a Garrett Wilson interview from the end of last season. And that dude's gone through it, man. That dude has gone through it. And I don't know. I'm not as big of a believer that Aaron Rodgers can make it through the whole season, etc. But I'm with you. I think I said last time, I think if the money was either equal or close to, I think he would choose Jacksonville. I'm interested to see if he would turn down a bag from a team like New England. Because, yeah, the on-paper fit doesn't make a ton of sense. But it's also one of those things where I'm not sure how many free agents actually care about winning. Honestly, I think money is the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth priority for pretty much all free agents, as opposed to fit anything like that. So I do think if a team offers him like 23.5-24 million per year, I think that'd be hard for him to turn down. But I also think the Jaguars, they can fight for him. You know, like, there's always money in banana stand. You can make his 2024, you know, cap hit low. And They have the means to try to match what other teams give them. It's just, I think it really just going to come down to how much he wants to take the bag as opposed to coming back to a familiar situation. Because while I do think the Jaguars would compete with other teams, I don't think they'll go into those crazy ranges for him.
Yeah, I do think like Ridley is definitely someone who cares about winning. Like, he committed to Alabama to win a national championship. Like, he's in like media availabilities with not just the Jaguars, but the Falcons. Like, he talks just about like how much he wins. Anytime he's asked about like stats, usually he's just like, I care about winning. And so like your point still stands though, like money is number one. And I think it's definitely worth mentioning that this is like maybe going to be the only time that really can get it back in his career. Cause like, he's just finished his rookie contract, right? Yeah. It was just crazy. And so like, he's going to be entering free agency for the first time, or just like going to be going into his second contract at all. And so since he's, I think, 28, 29 years old, I would bet that he's going to sign a third contract, but the third contract definitely isn't going to be anywhere close to what he's going to be able to get in this free agency. So if he does end up going to New England, like I would be a little bit surprised, but I would totally understand it because, I mean, why wouldn't you want generational wealth?
I think he's, for like the player, I think he's going to be good wherever he goes. I really think Calvin Ridley's a good football player, dude. I think he's really good. Like, you see some of these routes he ran last year, and just the way he comes out of breaks and sends defensive backs flying. I think give him – now that he's back in the swing of things, I think he's going to have a really good season in 2024 for whoever that is. So, go ahead and give me a final prediction. Who is Calvin Ridley with at 4:01 on March 13th?
Jaguars.
I'm like 50-50 Jaguars Patriots. I really don't know. That I always force you to make a prediction, so I'll go Patriots. I'll go Patriots. Let's turn that face mask red. I said to turn Dak Prescott's helmet aqua the other day, and a bunch of people were like, "You want the Jags to trade for Dak? What do you mean? Dolphin, all the Miami Dolphins helmet's aqua." It's the last time I do that bit because right. you can't say anything anymore. All right, Gus. As we're talking, the Jaguars just announced a contract extension. I don't want you to look. Look at me. Who is it?
Cam Robinson.
Blake Hans.
Come on. That's so fun. I was thinking bigger names.
In the way back dark days of the Jaguar Report podcast, I was recording the night Tom Coughlin got fired. I saw the thing. It was just like, cut, we're done.
Did he just that restart, or did he put the pod out as was?
I think I put the pod out as was. I went right to writing, man. It was a bad pod. Like that era of the podcast was bad. So
you're saying you gotta get out of here and write up about Blake Hans.
I'll be honest, if they had announced Josh Allen was just re-signed, I'd be giving you the signal like eject, you know. But
cut.
Yeah. But he did not. So we talked Ridley. There's not really many other interesting Jaguars internal free agents to talk about. It's like Brandon McManus, DeJuan Smoot, Jamal Agnew. I thought they already re-signed the fourth most important free agent they had, which was Daniel Thomas.
And Caleb Johnson is going to hit free agency. It was announced yesterday, I think, which that was the other one. Like Daniel Thomas and Caleb Johnson were like the two like bottom of the roster guys that I thought were for sure going to come back. I guess there's still a chance that Caleb could.
They're drafting a linebacker, dude. I've put it in every mock, and it's pissed people off every time. They're drafting a dude to play special teams.
Could they sign someone? There was some scuttlebutt yesterday that they were going to go after Patrick Queen, which, like, my eyes, like, rolled so hard they went to the back of my head after the Mac Jones trade. And then I saw that. I was like, what are we
doing? It would honestly be a really good bit. I could even be bad. It'd be too good. Trade Devin Lloyd for like a fifth?
Trade Devin Lloyd too.
Yeah, that'd be a good bit. Simon White,
like they're the same player. Like they're just fast and they need a like real
Mike. Like Patrick Queen had a good year last year, but I chalk it mostly up to that entire defense was insane.
Yeah, I would give like 98% of credit to Roquan Smith for Queen's production.
If Seattle isn't going after Queen, that's a red flag in my mind. Because they need linebackers, sure. Man. They had the corpse of Bobby Wagner out there last year, and he's a free agent again. I can't believe how many people willingly want their team to still sign Bobby Wagner. He hasn't been good in years, but
it's crazy.
Nonetheless. All right. Now that we're in the tampering period, let's go ahead and talk about some players that it would make sense for the Jaguars to go ahead and tamper with. All right, let's get our tamper on. All right,
that's good. All right,
we'll go one name at a time. All right, first name I think makes a lot of sense. There's been a lot of smoke, and I think it's warranted. Buffalo Bills wide receiver Gabe Davis. Okay, let's start with the negatives. Negative, UCF alum.
I mean, I should have seen that coming, but it got me.
We're not a proud people. No. I think he's like a mid-tier, like number two, maybe. Like, he's clearly not a one, you know?
I would say wide receiver two.
You'd say what?
I would say low-end wide receiver two.
I'll give you that. Here's my contention. If they sign Gabe Davis and release Zay Jones, I think that's a good move. If they sign Gabe Davis to pair with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, that'd be a very curious wide receiver room. It'd be weird.
I definitely contend that. It would definitely be a weird receiver room. But, like, I wouldn't be upset at all if they, like, signed a receiver like Gabe and then kept Zay too. Because, like, last year they went into the season with, like, three good starting wideouts and zero depth behind them. And so – like, if you go into the season with, like, four decent wideouts instead, assuming they're also able to keep Ridley, I guess that would be the real question, is if they keep Ridley, sign Gabe, and keep Zay. I guess that would be kind of a lot, but...
That'd be a crazy expensive receiver room.
Yeah. So, I get what you mean, but, like, I think that going into the season with, like, four guys who you're, like, comfortable with seeing the field makes a lot of sense, so...
I will say, I think Gabe's a good fit with Trevor Lawrence, you know? Like, he can win downfield. He can be a ball winner. Trevor's been wanting to throw YOLO balls for years now. He hasn't been able to since
Trevor. Yeah, he's like really reeled back since his rookie season. His rookie season, you throw, like, two a game, but now it's, like, two a season.
Do you remember that one against New England?
No, now it's on my head.
I'll find a clip and send it to you. It was to Treadwell. It was the most asinine throw of his career, like in a good way. Like, it made no sense.
Yeah, now I remember that. That was crazy. Yeah.
He's been wanting to do that for years, but they just keep adding small receivers, so he can't. So I think adding a ball winner like Gabe Davis, I'd be interested in it. But I'll just come out right and say it. The money will not look good. He is a free agent. Rarely do you get good deals in free agency. Like Mitch Morse, he's a rare example. He's a 32-year-old center. So, of course, you're going to get a good deal. But, I mean, Kendrick Bourne tore his ACL, and he just got $33 million. So, Gabe Davis is probably going to get, what, 40, 45, maybe 50?
Yeah, I would not be surprised by 50, especially – yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by 50.
Calvin Ridley, Gabe Davis, and Christian Kirk would interest me. I think that'd be an interesting room, honestly. You have a ball winner. You have a deep threat. You have a slot. I would be much less interested in the alternative and they gave Davis, Christian Kirk. That one would be kind of iffy to me. But if you can somehow keep Ridley and sign Davis, I think that'd be interesting. So,
yeah.
All right. That's my name. Hit me with yours.
Also, there's the positive or negative is the connection with Chad Hall, who's the receivers coach in Jacksonville. He used to coach receivers in Buffalo. So there's a connection there. Apparently, I know Gabe Davis went to UCF. Apparently, he's from Fernandina Beach too, which I hadn't heard. But so could be another Mac Jones local kid type. Yeah. Deal. What else was I going to say? Oh, just the last thing on Davis is I think that like he definitely is a big body, like contested catch guy who would be great for Trevor. But I think like the real value in him would be just being a field stretcher because like the Jaguars haven't really had that. And I feel like Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley are both like kind of sort of their field stretchers. But like, that's just like not really what they're best for. Like Zay, especially like even when he was with the Raiders before the Jaguars, he was kind of like put into the like outside vertical threat role after Henry Ruggs left the team. And it was like not the best fit for him. And then with Ridley, like you want to send him deep sometimes, but not all the time. But so I think that Gabe is someone that like you can send deep all the time and like is truly the kind of guy to take the top off of defenses and make things easier underneath for all the other guys. So
yeah, I feel like most big plays downfield Zay has are like schemed open type plays, you know, or like
right, double moves. Exactly. So, and then like even I feel like all the plays I remember like Zay just like going deep, like he had like a pretty bad drop against the Titans a if not last year, the year before, on like a beautiful Lawrence, like 60-yard bomb down the middle of the field. And like he had that big touchdown against the Chargers in the wild card game, but that was like another coverage bust slash schemed up deep shot. He just like ran wide open. And so
he's just not running by people.
Yeah. But Gabe Davis isn't. So I think that would be a good sign, even if the money looks a little scary at first. So my first name is Patriots outside linebacker Josh Uche. He's kind of a designated pass rusher slash third down specialist because he's a little bit undersized and a little light and doesn't hold up great against the run. But I think that makes it a really good fit for the Jags. I mean, there's rumors that the Jags were interested in him last trade deadline. And Mia O'Brien reported that like they're splitting hairs between a fourth and a fifth rounder. And so that like the price just wasn't right. And I think it was mostly because Uche had some suspect medicals because he was been dealing with a foot injury for a while. And so I'm sure that was part of the reason he is going to end up hitting free agency. But if you can kind of like buy low a little bit on a player that had an injury last year, he also last year had like continued to put up really good pressure rate numbers, but like didn't really have a good sack year last season. So I think you're also buying low from that point of view of just like statistical regression. He should be able to come up with more sacks next year than he did this past year. And then it's just what the Jaguars are looking for. Cause like they tried to sign Jadeveon Clowney and Calais Campbell in free agency last year, having them both in on visits, but they were looking more so for starter type money and just like starter type roles. But Uche is a guy that I think will just sign like a 1 year prove it deal and won't be too expensive. And because he's like not a great run defender, I don't think he can really demand starting money or starting snaps. So there's a previous connection. It's kind of like what they need. I know that we've said Bonke and Nielsen both like really big defensive ends, but if it's a pass rush specialist, like you just need him to get to the quarterback. So
yeah, like he's exactly who I think they're like. He's exactly what they're missing last year. Like he'd be like the Arden Key type guy, where he's not playing a ton of rundowns. He goes in there as you change up. He's one of the like better natural speed rushers in the NFL. Like Chop Robinson's getting first round hype, and it's because people say he reminds them of Josh Uche. It's wild. You know, he obviously didn't have a great year last year. Injuries played a big role. It makes sense why New England's not re-signing him. Like. Most designated pass rushers don't get re-signed. I mean, Bryce Huff, the Jets are letting him walk, and it's mostly because he's never really played running downs and they have investments otherwise. So, like, I think if all things are equal, like, there are two clear designated pass rushers on the free agency market, Bryce Huff and Josh Uche. Bryce Huff's probably going to get, like, 20-plus million a year. I think Uche is about paid. Exactly. I think Uche, whoever he signs with, will probably be one of the best values in free agency, honestly. Maybe you can even do what you did with Arden and sign him to a one-year deal. He produces. He signs somewhere else for a bigger deal, and you potentially get a pick back for him. So I think Uche would make a lot of sense. And they were interested in him at the trade deadline. I know there are some people who said he wasn't. Maybe even Trent Baalke said it. I don't remember. But they were interested in him. You know, they definitely wanted him.
Okay. All right, who's your next team?
Josh Reynolds. If
Calvin, no, that was going to be
let's go. He's not great, but I think he can give you like Marvin Jones 2021, 2022 level production. He's a contested catch guy. He's a downfield guy. I think a lot of people unfairly remember him for some of the drops that he had against San Francisco or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, he's a solid player. He's ideally, I think he's probably a receiver three, but if you lose Calvin Ridley and you have to pivot to a plan B, I think you can do a lot worse than Josh Reynolds.
I agree. I think he's like a really good, just like glue guy sort of. He's a really good run blocker. I think that was part of the reason that Detroit liked him so much when he was there. And that's like another thing that the Jaguars could need because like we talked about how their receiver room is kind of small. And we also talked earlier on this podcast about how like the poor running game from last season wasn't just the center, it was every position, including wide receivers, just like weren't like absolute liability, but they certainly weren't great. And so I think getting in a bigger body, like Gabe Davis kind of fits too, but Josh Reynolds is a legitimately good run blocker and like a guy who like contested catches, but like almost like the way like Zay Jones is like kind of used in a critical third down role, or more so in 2022. But like, I think he kind of could fit the Zay Jones role of like being like a mid-priced veteran wide receiver to be your, ideally your wide receiver three. But if the depth chart shakes out another way, then he could be the wide receiver too.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, give me a name.
All right, I gotta reload my list since you took mine.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
To stick with receivers, KJ Osborne from the Vikings. I think okay. He could be another, like, he's a little bit smaller. He's almost like Christian Kirk, where he's like short, but like still kind of like well built. It's not like he's short and skinny like a Marquise Brown or something. He's been on the Vikings for the past few years, and now that Justin Jefferson is about to get a huge extension, and they just drafted Jordan Addison in the first round last year, he's kind of on the way out because they're kind of established two guys. But KJ is a guy that like you'd prefer him not to be your number two guy, but he can be a good number three guy. Like if you just kind of like have a good role for him specifically, rather than trying to like put him into something more than he can handle, but he can just like go out and give you solid reps, at least a lot better reps than like a rookie Parker Washington or rookie Elijah Cooks gave you last year.
And that's, I think that's probably fair. Osborne was somebody who like was interesting to me. It was just, I don't know, maybe I'm biased, maybe I'm a size queen, but it's just like his frame adding to their room. I don't want to say no more tiny receivers, but no more tiny receivers. I feel like they've cut the market up on that. But that does kind of seem like the receiver that Doug Peterson and his staff kind of like, honestly, like those quick guys who get open basically. All right. Shelvin Rankins. I think Ole Fadakasi signing with the Texans yesterday basically made it a lock that Rankins will be a free agent. I'd sign him to a 1 year, $8 million deal, much like he signed with Houston last year. He can push, I think, Robertson Harris as like the starting three tech, or at the very least add like to your rotation. He's been a good pass rusher for pretty much his entire career. Former first round pick, has experience with Ryan Nielsen. I think that he would add a lot to their interior line depth chart, and he would like more or less erase that as a need and really kind of let you ignore those guys at 17.
Yeah, I think I would expect him to start straight up over Roy Robertson Harris, but either way. Yeah. I mean, I know you said the Jags front office is a bit prideful and they like their guys, but I think he's a better player than Roy Robertson Harris. But either way, like, as you said, definitely beefing up that rotation. And he had a career season with Nielsen back in like 2016 or 2017 with the Saints. And then he was like, just good, not great for the past couple of years. He stopped with the Jets too. But last year he had the second best season of his career with D'Amico Ryans. And now that the Texans signed Ole Fadakasi, and apparently the Texans are also going to look really hard at Christian Wilkins, I think the writing is on the wall that Sheldon Rankings is going to like sign with the new team. So I definitely like the Jags as a fit as well.
Yeah, I think he makes a lot of sense for them because he's not going to be overly expensive, and he like they need an upfield kind of guy, and he's that. So
yeah.
All right, what you got?
Stick with defensive tackle. I like DJ Reader from the Bengals. He's less of like an upfield guy and more of like just a space eater, like just mucks up the running game. He's coming off a torn quad injury from last year, so there's a little bit of injury risk, especially because he's on the wrong side of 30. But I mean, that means you could probably get a little bit of a discount for what's been a really good player and a really important part of the Bengals defense for their Joe Burrow era and even before Joe Burrow.
Is he redundant at all with Devon Hamilton?
I don't think so. I think I feel like Ham has a little bit less flexibility where it's like you could put him from like zero to like maybe 2i, but he's basically a nose tackle and that's it. I think Reader can move around a little bit more. Maybe not a lot more. Like I wouldn't put him at like 5 tech or make him like the big defensive end, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he'd be fine as a 3 tech.
That's fair. All right. Next one. I'm going to cheat. All right. I'm going to go 2 cornerback names because they're basically the same player. All right. Jeff Okuda and Rock Ya-Sin. I other than like maybe going after Legarius Need, which Tyler Dragon, a really good reporter with USA Today Sports, said that they're interested in, I think going after Sneed would make a lot of sense. He one of the best press corners in the NFL. He'd qualify as a big splash. But if they don't, I don't like there aren't that many good cornerbacks in this free agency class. You know, it's a bad group. So I think that they would go after a serviceable starter type who could also fill in as your cornerback three, as your backup outside guy. And I think Okuda and Rocky Center both said, I think they're guys who they don't prevent you from taking a corner at 17 because you can easily take one, make them compete and have the veteran ride the bench. But they're also, if you're entering week one with them as a starter, it's not ideal, but there are a lot of worst case scenarios, you know, like they can at least play to an extent.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely be fine with either of them seeing the field. I think, I mean, obviously Okuda makes a lot of sense since the Falcons traded for him last offseason, right after they hired Ryan Nielsen as DC. So he's got a lot of experience in press coverage. I mean, going back to his days at Ohio State and including with the Lions, and he graded or was pretty good efficiency wise against press coverage last year. So like, I think it makes sense to kind of like sign him for 1 or 2 years. He was a former third overall pick, obviously a fit with Nielsen. So that one makes, that's like a top three fit. I feel like on paper is Jeff Okuda coming to Jacksonville. And then Rocky Sin, I feel like I mentioned his name a couple times on this podcast this time last year. I think it's kind of similar where he was a former first rounder, not a top five pick, but still has that pedigree and has bounced around a couple times too. But he played pretty well last year in Baltimore. And so I think with Baltimore, like Baltimore, obviously Atlanta, and then Buffalo are three teams that played a ton of press man coverage last year. So I think those are like kind of good places to look. So two names that I'll say are Ronald Darby, also from the Ravens. He's a lot older, but I think he's, even if he's only going to be in Jacksonville for a year or 2 years at the absolute max, he actually like put on some really good film for the Ravens last year and was a good glue guy for them. So I think he makes sense as just like a veteran cornerback three type signing just to help fill out the room. And then from Buffalo, Dane Jackson was really good last year in place of Tre'Davious White, who's a free agent after tearing his Achilles last year. So Dane Jackson also, I mean, like all the guys that we've listed basically, was efficient in press man coverage. So those are all just names to watch.
Okay. While we're podcasting, T. Higgins just requested a trade. Does that help the Jaguars? Yeah, yeah. He like told like the Bengals he wants to be traded, which a receiver requesting a trade is much different than any other player requesting a trade because receivers are more likely to, you know, the double middle finger to the team that they're with.
Yeah, receivers are the most unhinged players in the sport for sure.
Does that help the Jaguars or Ridley? Big brain kind of.
I mean, like, I don't know, because I think teams like already kind of knew that T was available. Like the last time we recorded, or maybe two times ago, I was saying that I thought T was traded. So
like, maybe there's more emphasis for the Bengals to actually want to trade him now that he actively wants out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe like a team like the Patriots will kind of like readjust their approach to free agency and be like, oh, now that T is actually like more feasible option cost-wise, then we'll explore that more and maybe go after him over Ridley. But I don't know. I think it's going to be like more so fan reactions that change in terms of like who teams can get rather than teams. Cause I think teams have already, even if like him officially asking for a trade does like kind of like help speed up the process. Like I think teams are already like pretty aware of the situation. So
yeah,
I don't think it moves the needle too much in terms of Ridley impact.
That's fair. That's fair. Maybe T saw Joe Burrow living it up at UFC a little too comfortable, huh?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Had the biggest smile I've ever seen. That was a good picture.
Somebody say he looked like he wasn't happy to be a shot. He was a pig in slop.
Did you see the video of Bosa shaking his hand? That was funny.
It was like me meeting Piglet at Disney on my honeymoon. By the way, Piglet took a picture with me. Winnie took a picture with me. Eeyore took a picture with me. The striped fella? Nothing. He's dead to me. He's dead. Can't even say his name.
Is it Tiger or something? Tigre?
All right. Okay, I got two more names. I had offensive line names, but Morse was that name.
Right.
I got two more. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson or Avonte Maddox. Two really good slot players. They don't have a slot on the roster. They don't even have a potential slot on the roster. The closest thing they have to a nickel corner on the roster is Greg Jr., who we've never actually seen play it in a real NFL game, and Antonio Johnson, who isn't a slot and is probably their starting safety. So they need to add a slot at some point. I think it makes sense to draft like a rookie and try to get some cheap value out of the position there, because I do think slots one of those positions where you could do that. And there are a lot of good nickels in this draft, like the FSU guy, Cam Hart, etc. A couple, I think, a Michigan guy. But if they want to go the veteran route, I think Gardner Johnson make a lot of sense. He's played with Nielsen under Nielsen before, and then Avonte Maddox. You know, obviously there's some familiarity there. How long he was in Philadelphia? He's at his peak was probably one of the best slots in the NFL. He's not that anymore, but he's still a quality nickel.
Yeah, I think Avonte would be like a nice signing, just like nice veteran depth. But I would be really excited by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I mean, definitely a little biased because I watched him play when I was at Florida, but like he was one of the best nickels in the league statistically when he was with the Saints, because he was, I mean, drafted as a safety, but he played a lot of like star in college, which puts you over like slot receivers a lot or enough. And so like now, and then when he moved to Philadelphia and then to Detroit, he was more in a safety role, but I do think that like, it's not like he's old enough that he can't cover the slot anymore. And so I would love to see that, to like bring him in as more of a slot corner or really just like defensive back rather than a safety. Cause I think some people like are still thinking like, oh, CJ could come in to play safety, or like maybe go get Justin Simmons and see like just what his price tag is, cause he's such a good player on the open market. But like, you've been saying this for a while, especially, but like the safety positions are starting safety positions are set in stone for the Jaguars next year for Andre Sisco and Antonio Johnson. So I think Gardner Johnson would make a ton of sense, because he can play pretty much full time in the nickel for you, but then he can also be like a backup safety in case one of your starters goes down and you're not having to put in Dewey Wingard, or like, I don't know exactly how much dime or like three safety sets Nielsen ran last year, but
I think a decent amount.
I'm sure. Yeah. I think he ran, even if it wasn't like near the top of the league, he definitely ran some. And so I think just like getting like a versatile and aggressive and angry piece like that, that'd be a lot of fun. He'd be, I mean, again, he's a personal favorite, but I would love to see it.
I wonder how Jags fans would react. Jaguar family is so unique. I feel like half of them would love an unhinged player like him, and half of them are the get off my lawn type who would just absolutely detest it. So
yeah, and it's like so far, like this, it's not even like that close on the spectrum. Like you're either like on one side or the other, and it's not even close.
Yeah, so. Gus, you got any more names? Those are it for mine.
Yeah. The last one I'll say is Emmanuel Ogba from the Dolphins. He was a cap casualty cut a week or two ago. And he was like, had a little bit of a disappointing season in 2023, but I think he's still a really good player. And he's more of a guy that can contribute really on every down rather than being a pass rush specialist. But so I think he might make sense if the money looks right, assuming they don't bring Dwayne Smoo back. But I also think it's more likely than not that Smoo is back.
Yeah, that makes sense. Back like on a cheap one-year deal, just fill out the rotation. Yeah, makes sense.
He and his wife literally just built a school in Jacksonville. Like, how are they going to leave?
In terms of pure people, like how they are as a person, he's one of the best people I've ever covered. He's – like, there's a reason he keeps coming – like, the Jaguars keep – bringing him back. Like, same with Tyler Shatley. Like, when you play those kind of roles, it helps so much more. you're actually likable and people want you around, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I think I've said this before, Trey Herndon, the reason so many teams have kept him is because, like, coaches just love a guy like that. Like, he's quiet, he does what he's supposed to do, he's really good off the field for the community, etc. You can't be a tool and be a fringe player, you know. If you're that, then I mean, they had, I won't say the name out of respect, but they had an undrafted free agent last year who made some big plays in camp and preseason, but dude was unhinged. there's just no room for him, you know, on the roster. All right, Gus, you got anything else?
No, I got a meeting to be at in 10 minutes, so I'll see ya.
All right. Thank you, guys. As always, don't forget, NFL, you just got bulky bold. All right, we'll be back after the dust settles. Thank you guys for joining us.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.